I'm a bit rusty. I'm a
No,
bit rusty.
you just feel like you can remember the times when it's totally been flowing, and you just put paintings are just popping out. Don't. Yeah, finish that one. Oh, I love that one. Oh, this is great. And then other times where, yeah, that can't have been me. I don't know who that person was. I don't know how that happened. Hi, and welcome to episode 191 of Art Juice. This is honest, generous, and humorous conversations to feed your creative soul and get you thinking with me, Louise Fletcher.
And me, Alice Sheridan.
And we did have a main topic. We thought we had a main topic for this week because we mentioned last week that we didn't have time to discuss self-sabotage. And I said, oh, maybe we could do that as our topic. And Alice said, I don't feel like talking about that. So
I don't feel sabotagey this week.
Yeah, so our new motto is to only do what we feel like on this podcast. So we're not going to talk about self-sabotage. But if that was a subject you were interested in, I'm sure we will get to it on one of those weeks when we feel like we are self-sabotaging.
It will happen for sure. Bring it on. No, don't bring it on. Not yet.
So this week, we thought we would talk about studio starts, getting back into the studio after the Christmas break and New Year planning and all of that. But before we do that, what have you been up to, Alice?
Today, I have been delivering a painting, which is always rather nice. So came through on the website and I thought, oh, lovely. Please say I don't have to pack it. Please say I don't have to pack it. Please say I don't have to pack it. And then I looked at it and I thought, yay, I don't have to pack it. I can actually deliver it in person. So I've had a little bit of a day out today doing that. Gave for a call and said I can bring this round in person. So that was really lovely but on the way there, you know how you still have that sense of little niggly doubt going, oh, you know, you just think you'll walk through the door and they'll say, oh,
yeah,
it's not quite how I expected, or oh, it's a bit brighter, or it's not as bright as I thought, or it's not quite how it looked on it. All of that stuff is still there. It is still there, even though it's quite quiet now. It's quite small and it goes away quite quickly. I just go, right, okay, like, let's just not do that. And, you know, actually what happened is she said, oh, lovely, exciting delivery. And we took it into the sitting room. And then her husband came in and went, oh, wow.
Oh, that's what you want.
That's what you want. That's why it's lovely delivering. He said, you know, it was good on screen. He said, wow, yeah, in person, you know. Oh, yeah, great. So very happy. So that was lovely. And then I had a nice day, went back via the studio, and I've just been checking in with my parents. But the week has been, I can't believe it's been a week since we recorded. The week has flown past. I have been busy. I have been zumbering and shaktiing and eating well and feeling brilliant on the whole, which is quite nice.
Yeah, that's good. I'm feeling good too. This is one of our rare occasions when we come on the podcast and we're both in the same mood, because often one of us is down, one of us is up, one of us had a good week, one of us had a bad week. But I just feel really calm and settled. And even though I haven't done the same level of planning probably that I've done in prior years, I feel quite relaxed about everything. And a bit more, nobody's going to believe this is me, a bit more, well, it'll get done. Like, it'll happen. And same thing. So what I've been up to is clearing out my studio, because I've been stuck for a while, as I've mentioned, and I realized that part of the stuckness is things hanging around.
Yes.
There's an energy to things that are hanging around. And I actually have never done this before, but I took three wooden panels, not big ones, and threw them on the pile for the bonfire. Because I have had these different panels for years now. I have sanded them and started again. I think they're just possessed with the devil and they need to just go. And it felt so good when I threw them on the pile, even though I know that's a waste. But I'd already ordered some new ones. I have plenty of new ones. And when I look at the new ones, I see possibility. And as soon as I look at these older ones, I feel dragged down by my failure to do anything with them. I took a really big one which I've just made an ugly mess of and just put it in a different space. I'm lucky to have a space over my garage that's dry and warm, and I store paintings there. So I just moved that out of the way. And by tomorrow, when I get my teenage neighbor to help me with a few heavy bits and pieces, it will be clear, fresh, and I can start gessoing panels and things. So
I think it
feels good.
Yeah, an enormous difference. And it doesn't matter what, I mean, it's interesting with you because your studio is fairly newly built.
Shouldn't be such a mess.
Well, no, I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say there is a stage where obviously you need it to feel like your space. You need to move in. So there's some stuff creation that has to happen so that it's not all like pristine and all of that. But there is very definitely a stage where stuff hangs around that is a previous version of you or what you were doing. And you hang on to it because you think, oh, yeah, but that might be useful, or I might want to go back to that, or, you know, I might want to look at that again, or what if I still reuse those panels? But too much of that, it does start to get heavy and cluttery. And sometimes as well, and I am not a big one for actual cleaning as well as clearing, but actual cleaning does the job too in studio space. It's just that, you know, when everything kind of gets a bit dusty and it all just feels a bit, so I'll tell you something that I did, completely pointless, made me feel 100% better. You know those Stay Wet palettes that have got a plastic stick-on clear plastic lid? Mm-hmm. You know those ones that you can buy? They're really cheap plastic underneath, and I don't really use them. But I thought, for here, I want to start painting more at home again. I need to reunite the top. And the top had got all kind of manky with bits of paint, and it was just like, ugh, feeling. And I spent too long cleaning it with spray and a scourer to get it feeling fresh and new again, and feels good.
Yeah, there is
arguably totally pointless, but you know,
I don't think it's pointless if it helps our energy though, and that's the thing. That's what I realized. Part of me was saying, "Don't move that big one out because then you're giving up." And then I thought, "No, I'm not giving up. I'm just not dealing with it now because I don't like what I've done to the surface of it, and I don't want to deal with that. I want to start again." Fresh. And I agree with you, cleaning, like there's my painting table is really gunked up, and it's an old dining table. It's a painting trolley. It's a dining table that we stuck on casters so it moves around, and it's great for painting on, but I used to make sure it was covered up with something, and then I stopped doing that. Now it's really gunked up horribly, and I decided, right, this weekend, as long as it's not raining, that's coming outside. I'm sanding all the top of it. And then I'm going to paint it so I can just whack over it anytime it gets too gunky. And that'll feel better.
Do you know what's funny about that? Do you remember that time that you visited my studio and I said something? I'm sure it was when you visited, but it might have been another time that I was painting the top of my painting table. And you said, oh, that's just pointless. It will just get mussed up again.
Well,
like,
yeah,
no,
it will.
I quite like having it. It will, but yeah. I quite like having a bit of a fresh start sometimes.
I agree with you. I take that back if I said that, because I had last year when I went away, I had my studio completely all painted again, and that just made a big difference. Just a fresh coat of, I mean, I say I had it painted, whacked over with basic white emulsion, but it just made it feel fresher.
It does.
So yeah, so I'm looking forward to having it all cleared out so we can have a new studio start. Perfectly brings us to our topic. When you said to me studio starts, what did you mean by that? What were you thinking?
I thought it would be, I'd just quite like to have a conversation with you really, because I have done a couple of things this week. So yeah, we have been doing planning. I spent time. So my mission for the week was get reacquainted with my studio, just like get in touch, say hello, remember where we were, you know, what were we doing? What are you interested in? And so earlier in the week, I just spent time like going through some old notebooks and sketchbooks, reading what I'd written. And at the beginning of that process, I was a bit feeling, I don't have any ideas. I don't know what I'm doing. I've forgotten how to paint. Where am I going? Like I've got to kind of create something and I don't know what it is. That process of going through all those kind of sketchbooks and just looking at it again, and it's a bit like mining your own work for treasure, really. like going back to your own stuff, there's a way of looking externally, like what other artists' work do you like, which is also useful. But that going into your own work and looking, you always notice things that you missed, remind yourself that, you know, things that you were interested in that haven't come out yet. Sometimes you see something from a long time ago and you think, oh, that actually happened. You know, yeah. I remember writing that and thinking, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but it was 2 years ago and now it's happened. Like, I don't feel like that anymore. I've moved on. And I think that's a really nice thing to remind yourself of. But having had that day, I then have had a day where I went back in the other day and I worked over some old panels, supposedly just playing with them, but small ones, 10 inch ones, but noticing that I very quickly went into how to resolve this mode. Now, it might be because they're panels that have got quite a lot on them already. So they're towards the end of that feeling. But then I also thought, well, at some point, you've just got to start something new. And that's what I did today, just with a kind of hellish go for it. Let's just see what happens. And, you know, quite quickly got into that. Ooh, these things feel good. Ooh, these things feel good. And probably none of it is anything to do with what I might have planned for. And right. I just think it's just an interesting process, isn't it? Because I just came back to, you just paint the way you paint.
Yeah.
Just you can admire things from afar. At the end of the day, you just paint things the way you paint. And what's come up today, I kind of know, I can kind of see there's something there with saturated and desaturated color and optical color mixing rather than mixing a color on a palette. That's something that I'm sort of thinking about. But it still just happens in the process of actually doing it rather than planning all out in sketchbooks, even though I love sketchbooks.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a bit of a similar experience, but not quite, because I don't. We use sketchbooks differently, I think, and I have one that I call a studio journal, and I might stop separating them out, but at the moment it's my studio journal. And what I do in there is, I don't use it all the time, but from time to time I go in and really think about my work, especially at the end of a series of work. And I went back into the one, I actually started it right back after my Ted Hughes project. So that's how long it's been going. I think it's been going 2 years and I'm near the end of it now. It's quite a big sea white one. But I was going back through that similarly and thinking, wow, what's interesting is there's all these ideas that I wrote about then that I pursued in a small series of paintings and then completely went away from again. Yeah. And went back to my abstract landscapes and did that whole exhibition, which was good because I promised them an abstract landscape exhibition. Yeah. But I dropped those threads and all ideas I'd written about and artists I'd written about and photographs I'd taken of bits of my work that I liked and saved. The threads are all still there and it's all what I'm still interested in. So I did a little bit of just journaling about, why have I not done this? Like, why am I not doing these paintings? What's stopping me? And I got quite a few answers from myself about, well, obviously I was the only person there, so they must have come from myself. I got answers about what I was avoiding or some kind of thinking other people would judge it as not as valid as what I had been doing. There was a lot of mental baggage there that had stopped me. So that was a useful day. And that only happened because I was tidying up and I found the book and started going through it and then realized. So I've done a lot of work in that book this week as in between tidying, going back into revisiting, finding work I've done on bits of paper and adding it to the book and thinking about, okay, where do I want this to go? But I'm also very aware of what you just said, that I have to get out of the thinking when I start painting on the panels. So I can't be still thinking, right, it's about the contrast between patterned structure and no structure, and it's the contrast between solid and scribble. And I can't be thinking that because I'll just get contrived nonsense.
Yeah, because if you know that about your work, if you think that at the beginning of making it, then it starts to get into, okay, so today, all right, I need to think about this, and then I'll be adding patterns. And it's when it happens. It's not when you... I don't know how else to verbalize it, really.
Yeah.
You can recognize those things in your work when you're looking at the parts of it that you like and in the process of doing it. I'm not sure how actively you can make it happen to order. This is where I go back to the, you just paint the way you paint, and then you have to recognize it in that process of doing it. Because if you start painting it and it doesn't feel like the way you paint, it feels very out of sorts. Feels, like you say, very contrived, quite artificial, doesn't really land with anything yet. And I've tried that in the past with things that I want to bring into work, and it just never lands.
I think for me, the secret and what I learned from those Ted Hughes paintings is, it's what you just said, try not to resolve it too quickly. Because if you do, you're forcing that thing that you've got in your head. So if I know some of the elements I want, it's all right to put those elements in. It's all right to do the things I love, the pattern, the scribbles, the painting over, all of that. But I've got to be completely willing to keep covering that all up again until the right combination of it all emerges. Because what happens to me is I say, oh, I really like that area there. So if I just do this and this, that'll probably resolve it. And it can resolve it sometimes into something that looks okay, but you're not happy with it because it's not getting to that level where you want it to be. And the thing that these paintings have in common, the ones I loved and the bits I took out of my paintings that I loved, is a rawness and an energy which can only come from not thinking. Like, it can only come from that. It can't come if I'm planning how to do that. So maybe that's why I've felt so stuck, because it feels like, oh, how do you even start? And the answer is, you just have to start.
You do. And I think that's why I'm kind of so excited today, because it feels like it has been a long time. And there is always like that fear of delivering a painting. When you go into the studio, like, you want something to be new this time, but you think, can I do it anymore? Have I forgotten? What's it going to be like? You also know that there are going to be good days and bad days and things where it's going to go wrong and, you know, be like, oh, I don't like that. Like, you know, you're going into a thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's not all going to be straightforward. And that's quite difficult to do when you don't know what the outcome is going to be. And today, I when I went back in, there were two big paintings that were nearly finished. I think I mentioned them last week, before Manchester. And one of them is really close. But you know how when you've lost contact with it?
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't go straight back into it, because I knew if I did, I'd be like twiddly tweaking, like buffing around and not really adding to it. But I knew this is not the time to be doing a big major change, because it is quite close. The other one needed a bit more work. And I thought, well, I've just got to start something else. And I just started just these small ones. And they're a funny size canvas that I bought when you couldn't get any canvases. I think they're like 50 by 60 centimeters. They're a real in between funny size. Anyway, I got six of them up on the wall and I started painting them yellow. I don't know why yellow. And then I got halfway through and I got bored with yellow. And like, the idea, like, even within 20 minutes, was start with a different color ground under each one and see how it feels working on paintings with a different color ground on each one. That idea didn't even last literally the first 20 minutes of actually painting on it before I just thought, no, I'm not going to do that. that's what I just think it's amusing. It amuses me.
Yeah. Yes. We've talked before about that, though, this balance of having to have something having to have something, or certainly I found over the years, I'm much better if I have something to hang this whole painting thing on.
Yeah.
Like I can't just go in and say, I'm just going to paint intuitively. I'm just going to pick up any color. I'm going to do anything. Because all that leads me to is a big mess where, and I've got no signposts or guide to help me back out of the big mess because I don't know what I'm actually aiming for. So the conclusion I came to today was, and I think this is what you helped me with a few years ago with those paintings for the book, right, get my inspirational sketches or bits of work on bits of paper up around my studio, have them around me so I know that's what I like, and then stop thinking about them.
Yeah.
And just trust that every time I walk in, they're there, and and I'm hopeful that that will kickstart things going again. But it's funny how, given that I tell everybody else how to not worry what everybody thinks, that I uncovered all this stuff in my own mind, which I didn't even know was there, about these particular paintings I want to do, that was, oh, but what will everyone think?
Yeah.
And so, and truly, I don't care. My conscious mind doesn't care what everyone thinks. But something does underneath. Yeah. So it's good to, I think you have to constantly revisit that, because as you say, every time you start again, you have that feeling of, I'm not going to be able to do this. Like I look at, I made, I think, 43 paintings for that exhibition, and I loved all but two or three of them. Like I fell out of love with a couple of them, but mostly I loved them. I don't know how the hell they happened. I have no idea.
I know.
How am I going to do painting
that again? That's a good painting. When you sit in front of it, and I did that, I actually sat on the carpet in front of one, and I just thought, because in my mind, it had simplified to something that was a little bit predictable and boring, and then I hadn't seen it for 6 weeks, and I sat in front of it on the carpet in the studio. I thought, this is lush.
Like, it's a good feeling.
There's some really good, like, there is work in here.
Yeah,
like you can really feel it, but there's a long distance between that as a finish and then picking up and starting again. And I just think this idea of, I think I love sketchbooks. I have different sketchbooks for all sorts of different things, drawing books and sticking books, and sometimes I wish they're all in one, but they're not, they're different. Sometimes I do wonder if people I think there's almost two schools with sketchbooks. There's people who don't do sketchbooks because they're a bit scared of sketchbooks. And then I wonder if there are people who do a lot in their sketchbooks because they're a bit scared of the painting. And I think it's fine to be scared of both, to be honest, but it's doing that kind of work that you're doing, that why is this, you know, why? I think sometimes there's a lot of focus on, you know, sketch, making lovely sketchbooks. It's like, okay, well, and also, what do you really want to be making? There's a bit of me that I've never painted in sketchbooks. I've never done that kind of investigative painting in sketchbooks because I like that to happen on the painting.
Yeah, I love
not in a sketchbook in my book. And then try and reproduce it, you see. So
there's a thing with sketchbooks that I love, and I don't use them as much as some people do, and it's very on and off for me. So it'll be like usually at this beginning phase that I'm using it a lot. But painting in a sketchbook, I really like, because if you get a few pages you like about 10 o'clock the other night, I went, I want to look at that sketchbook again. And I went over to the studio and brought it back and like sat there looking at it instead of going to bed when I was really tired, because I just love the thingness of a sketchbook.
Yes.
The thingness, not thinness. The it's an object, and it's kind of precious, and it's only yours, and whatever goes in there doesn't matter because nobody else is going to look. So I do like that. I totally take your point about, but that's why I like experimenting in them, because I like looking at them after. I suppose because I don't feel the need to resolve things in a sketchbook the way I do in a painting, because it's not a painting and I don't have to worry if a page looks rubbish, it just stays there. I suppose it feels like it's very much me when I open it up.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm really looking at me, how I was that day. Like on one page the other day, I just painted it black, like just the whole thing. I love that page. I didn't cover all the edges. It was just like, and I really like it. And there's no value in that as an artwork. I'm not going to be able to, if I did that on a panel, I'd have to do more on it. But I really like that page. So I get pleasure out of both, but I do tend to, like, once I get into the paintings, I won't go back into the sketchbook. Yeah. It'll be put aside. And I wonder if that's, for me, a mistake. I wonder if I might enjoy it to keep it going. I always envy those people who have, those people who have shelves and shelves and shelves full of sketchbooks. I always envy that because you've got a record of your whole life.
They are, I mean, there is no doubting, they are gorgeous objects, and every page in a sketchbook you can pick up and you remember where you were, when you did it, what it meant to you, all of that stuff, which when it all goes into a painting, which then go, you've lost that bit of you, haven't you?
Yeah.
It's gone off somewhere.
But I think you do what I do, you take pictures on the way of your paintings. Do you do that?
Yeah, and I do feel that having, you know, better pictures of the end, but, you know, picture is a picture, isn't it? That it doesn't have that physicality that you're talking about in a sketchbook. Here's just a very practical question: that if you're painting with acrylic in sketchbooks, so this is the thing that realize that I've never done it. Like, physically, how do you, because you can only do so much. Okay, apart from on a constant sketchbook. Yeah, on one page.
So annoying.
And then what? And then if you've got pages that have both got paint on facing each other, don't they stick together? And then I know people put greaseproof paper in between. Oh, I can't be bothered. That's why I don't paint sketchbooks.
No, it's totally frustrating. So I had two on the go and I was still making, you know, still everything was wet. I have my hair dryer out, but that doesn't stop when you close the pages if it's not properly dry. So I often work on bits of paper, which I then just tape into the book.
Yes.
My books are a real mess. They're not neat. So they're just taped in with like masking tape or whatever. So it's in there. But the other day I made this page. It's quite a little book. And one is bright orange paint with some black striped collage paper that I've made years ago. It was a very striking little page. And on the page opposite it, I put this aged paper. I found some old vintage paper with nothing on it except little staple holes that had gone brown and some staining. And I thought, oh, that's brilliant. So I stuck that on the other page, went off to do something else, then got carried away with another idea, flipped the page over, made my next idea. And my lovely stained paper now has a big orange swoosh all over it, which isn't an attractive orange swoosh. It's ugly. But then I thought, but that is a record of my impatience. That is what happened. So I've just left it. That's how it looks now in that page forever. But yes, I have that problem all the time. Sometimes I'm like propping a page up with something over here so I could paint on this next bit.
Paint underneath it like under a temper.
I make a giant mess. I get paint all over the edges so the pages stick together. So my sketchbooks are definitely not pristine objects like some people's are. They're a big old mess.
Yeah, I think Cheryl Taves has a sketchbook. I don't know if it's open all the time, a sketchbook course. And I know that her sketchbook, she always has the same size and she does something on the cover and everything goes into one book. So they're these amazing, beautiful objects. But she's also obviously very careful with them, and she like has bits of paper that she clips around the other pages. I just know that I wouldn't do that.
Because what I do is I'll have paint on my hands and then I'll go to glue something in and there's a smudge on my... I once took a course with Cheryl and we started by making a journal with... And I could not keep mine as clean as Cheryl's.
Mm.
She's obviously clever enough to wash her hands on a regular basis. We're very admiring, Cheryl, if you're listening to this, because, yeah, I get paint everywhere on them and it frustrates me because I'd like them to look clean and neat, but they're not. I'm not a clean and neat person in that way. My studio's a mess.
I think that's the point, though, of sketchbooks, isn't it, really, is that you just have to let them reflect you and be whatever they're going to be. you know, and come into the process when they come in and not try and make it be anything else. You know, if we go back to, if we're talking about studio starts again, you know, you can plan everything out or draw it in your sketch, but you've still got to make that jump into doing the painting.
Yeah.
You've still just got to go and do it. And it might deviate. You might go back to something that feels familiar. But I think having work in sketchbooks does show you that thing of when you notice something that you were struggling with 2-3 years ago, you think, yeah, I kind of did that, or I kind of made that happen, even without consciously thinking about it. That there's a little bit of magic in that.
Yeah.
And it's just quite nice to be reminded of that when you're at that stage now where you're still thinking, I don't know what this is going to be about or what these are going to look like or how I should be doing it or whether I should be planning it more or thinking more about underpainting and then layering in a different way. They'll get somewhere.
Yeah, because they always do in the end, apart from those ones I've thrown on the fire. So apart from those ones, most of them get somewhere.
Yeah. So anyway, it was nice to be excited again today. That was, you know, that is an enjoyable feeling. And it was a nice reminder of, yep, this is why we do it. This is why we paint.
Yeah. It's that lovely buzz of creativity that I was having a couple of weeks ago about my planning stuff, where I was having all these ideas. It's just that lovely feeling of, I'm producing things. Like a friend of mine got COVID a couple of weeks ago, and she's an artist, and she said the worst thing was I lost all my creativity. My brain went to mush. I couldn't create, and I was walking around thinking, who am I if I can't create anything? My brain's never been like this my whole life. And sometimes we have the lulls, but we always know, oh, I've always got ideas. Things are always popping in. I might not be able to execute them, but I always have ideas.
Yeah.
And I wonder what it must be like if you don't have that. It's probably a lot more peaceful in your life if you don't have the constant drive to make things.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's just interesting when, for whatever reason, life, situation, families, whatever, you have a patch of time where you're not making. And I think, you know, this time of year, it happens to a lot of people, and it can be grim. It's grim outside. You know, actually, today was quite a beautiful day this morning, but, you know, it can be quite a tiring time of year still to feel like you've got to generate all of this again. And I think what I really felt today was so thankful, honestly, so thankful that when I actually did do it, and I just made more of an effort this week, and just to go regularly, and it takes travel time, and it was just like, just go, you don't have to stay for a long time. So I've done 4 2-hour batches, that's all. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And yet I feel like I am so much further on than I was on Sunday, because I've peeled the lid off something new. That's it. I've just started something new. And it was just quite interesting today how quickly it went from, okay, we'll just start with this thing. Oh, now try that. Oh, now try that. Now do this. And I could actually feel that warming up process of, oh, thinking about what color and should it be this, and moving into that real physical space. And then I went, but then I had the energy to go back to those big ones and make some changes that I think I have added to them.
Yeah.
So it was just very interesting to notice those different states between, both of which were enjoyable in their own way, looking and thinking and actively doing. And I think when it works really well, I know for me anyway, is when that time difference, that pivot between those two bits, can happen quicker and quicker.
Yeah.
And I just need to, like, I'm a bit rusty.
You just feel like you can remember the times when it's totally been flowing, and you just, but paintings are just popping out. Don't Yeah, finish that one. Oh, I love that one. Oh, this is great. And then other times where, yeah, that can't have been me. I don't know who that person was. I don't know how that happened. And I think you get better at getting back into it. I think what's happened to me is life things have changed, lots of change, and finishing that big series of work and knowing I didn't want to make any more abstract landscapes for a while. So then now it really is big unknown. But you can remember that feeling, and it's just, if you could just find a way to generate that anytime you wanted, like press a button, right? The easy button from Staples. That was easy. I just want to make 20 great paintings. But you can't, so.
Did we talk about word of the year last week? I can't remember.
I said mine was generosity. I can't remember if you said what yours was.
I think it might have changed.
What is it now?
Well, it's a kind of, I don't know what the actual word is, but I know what the feeling is. It's that kind of centered yes glow feeling. So it's coming back to that. And that's what I thought today when I went in, and I thought, right, today is going to be the day when you start something. What's it going to be? This or this? These sizes. Right, what are we going to start with? Are you going to plan it, or are you just going to go with that tub of paint that's left over and left from last time? Right, just start with that. And I just went with that feeling, just paint from that point of view of, that's all you have to do today. Does it feel good? Paint it. That's all you have to do today. We are not worrying about where it's going to go, whether this is going to be part of a system, whether this is a new approach, none of those things. We're just going to start. And it was good to feel how quickly it did shift into, yeah, actually, this really does feel good.
Nice. Yeah, and you were not worrying yet about what it looks like, presumably.
No, but then when I got to the end of not very long, like I say, I was only there for 2 hours today, I looked at some of these and I was like, oh yeah, I like these. Are we done? No, I don't think we are done. But
might be. We've talked about this before, haven't we? About how much do you have to... Do you have to do layers and layers and layers if you like them?
Don't know. So that's where I am. That's my start. That's it.
Well, we're both off to a good start to the year, I feel like.
Yeah.
In different ways.
Go with it, I think. Not very helpful. Not at all applicable to the way that many, many people paint or work.
No. But I bet a lot of the things that we've talked about are applicable no matter what style you paint in. I bet that feeling of, can I do that again? How did I ever do that? I bet that feeling of remembering how easy it was one time a year ago, and why isn't it easy now? And that feeling of glow when things start to go well. I bet all those feelings are the same no matter what style you paint or what subject.
That is good. Talking of glow, can I give you a Shakti mat update?
Yes.
I took mine round to my parents this afternoon because my mum's had a bit of a sore back and lots of things that we're doing and trying. And I thought, well, why just try it? Keep your T-shirt on for the top half, try it for the bottom part. Anyway, she gave it a go. And first 2 minutes, she was like, oh, no, I'm not sure I can do this. And after 6 minutes, I said, would you like to get up now? No, she said, I'm happy now. I'm going to stay here now for a little bit longer. Can you tell your dad to turn the oven on? So he did that. And then he came and had a go. And promptly within 6 minutes, he was snoring his head off. So when he woke up, he said, so where'd you get these things from then? So, yeah, talking of glow. I never thought that would happen. I thought they'd go, huh, yes, very nice, you're crazy.
I can't believe you got them on it. That's impressive.
Yeah. So, and I know that a few people last week said, okay, I've bought one now. So I'm not Shakti Mat advertising, but again, has been part of my week this week. So there we go. Right. We will put the link for Cheryl's website in the notes if you want to go and take a look at what she does. She has a very particular way of approaching sketchbooks. And shall we include Karen Stampers again as well?
Yes, good idea.
That's a great sketchbook reference, isn't it, always? Hello, yep. Karen, if you're listening. Is that us then this week?
I think that is us. I think we're done.
Next week, I am recording a special one with, we've got a guest coming on to talk about marketing without social media, mm-hmm. or just using less social media in your life. So I think that will be a really interesting conversation. I have tried moving my apps off screen, off my home screen, so that I don't get sucked into them that much. Is it working? I don't know yet if it is, or whether it's just taking longer because I don't know where to find them now. So it might be self-defeating, but I'm going to be very interested to see what she has to say next week anyway. So that would be a good one.
Sounds good. All right, everybody. Well, we will see. Well, Alice will see you next week. I will see you soon. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, I forgot what we say then. Oh, it's okay. I've got it. Hi and welcome to Art Juice. This is... No, start again.
It was just like, ugh, feeling.